are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
And honestly, it's making me so sad. I fight so hard. All summer, all fall, all spring, Aquaphor on the face, pouring on the oils, oil slugging. Cleansing, yeah. Slugging, and then winter comes and it's just fucked. I'm just crusty.
Wait, are you using tretinoin still?
No, I stop in the winter because it dries me out.
What's your, what moisturizer are you using?
I alternate because it's like anything I use stops working. I just stay with my hair. I've got to change it up because my body just wants to be dry, dry, dry. Maybe I should just rub estrogen cream all over my hair and face.
I was going to suggest KY for the dry girlies.
There's nice and shape. Slick.
Slick, yeah. Like your whole face could have anal sex.
Just put my whole head in, yeah, and then be birthed.
Exactly. It's what the fellas like.
See, you always look like you have glass skin. Like you always look so like
I do
up.
Use face oil, but I have a zit. I haven't had a zit in a while, but I do because I use skin oil. I use squalane. Squalane.
See, squalane doesn't do much for me.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
I know.
How's your?
I know.
Okay, like outside of your physical health. Okay.
Which is poor. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to ask you your mental health, but then you
also poor.
Took,
yeah.
Like, you like took a long hit of your vape. So
that's about where I'm at. Yeah.
I feel like, is that a new vape? You have so many.
I alternate. Well, I do these geek bars and they're like 15,000 puffs. So they last like a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Oh my God. Well, yeah. I hope you quit soon.
I think I have to. Like, at this point...
I think it's usually, killing all the kids.
I'm so depressed. Like, I've got to get to a point where I'm so depressed that even vaping isn't bringing me joy, which is about where I'm at. So I'm like, okay, well, I could probably quit now.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. You could do it. I mean, there's a lot going on right now, but...
There's a lot going on.
A lot going on.
Who is that? Whose voice is that?
A lot.
Dumb and Dumber. Sean. Wait, what are you thinking?
Not Sean Astin. No, I was thinking, who was the guy that was Bond, the Scottish?
Oh, Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
I like to hit women.
Yeah, I did like that movie he did where he did not hit a woman. So that's good.
That narrows it down.
I think it was called like Entrapment or
Where Catherine Zeta-Jones does the laser.
Yeah, she does the laser walk before it became like a thing with the Matrix.
Yeah.
Right?
Foreshadowing movies where people like dip back and
calisthenics
sway. Yeah.
Calisthenics. Oh my God. Okay. Well,
okay. Wait, have you heard about this? Have you heard about this Sold on Salt Lake City?
What? Oh, the show.
The new.
The show.
Yeah. I haven't heard about anything about it.
Okay. I haven't heard anything about it, but what is going on? What's in the water besides salt in Salt Lake City? Because there's so many, I can't get over your butt. Your brows are lifted to the heavens.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, you look
really
crushed.
I feel like this is like helping my self-esteem because I've been like, really, I'm only depressed because of how dry I am. I'm like,
no.
My skin will never be wet again.
I want to go get Botox right now. I want my brows to be lifted again. Yeah, no, I haven't heard anything about it, but there's so many shows in Salt Lake right now. I can't keep up with all of the swigging.
Yeah, and it's like they can't
all
be
in the swinging.
Like winners, but like real estate and Salt Lake City. This is like combining two things that, you know,
yeah,
America's
no,
really into TV wise.
I think I'm going to watch it cuz like what else am I going to do?
Exactly.
What else do I have going on? I just left Target. My daughter's napping. I'm going on vacation.
Yeah, you're the girl who's going to Paris.
I am. I'm going to watch it while I'm in Paris. I'm not going to Paris.
What, you're not going to Paris?
No, not this year. I'm going to Hawaii.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Hawaii.
Yeah. I'll be
Aloha.
Closer to home. Aloha. Yeah. I'm going to the Sunshine State.
Yeah. Ohana means family.
It does. I thought that was Moana.
Moana means family.
Moana means family. Or as my daughter likes to call Moana, iguana. She calls
iguana
her iguana.
Means family.
Yeah. She goes, oh, it's an iguana.
Moana 2 is coming out. Have you heard about
this? Okay, but no, it already came out and it like beat Wicked at the box office last week.
Oh, it did.
Oh my God. Somebody needs to read their Variety.
I know. I've been just following the Oscar race and I'm neglecting the trades.
You're not. Yeah. I mean, I thought you were always checking Fandango. Always be checking Fandango.
Yeah, I'm always like, what are the movie times this week? What are the movie times internationally?
What do you think? Where's Mr. Movie Phone?
I think dead, right? All those old voice actors are dead.
Are they?
In a world. Welcome to Movie Phone. They're all dead. Replaced by AI.
I cannot believe we used to call that guy. I miss him. And now I have nobody to talk to on the phone except my mom. She's the only one I talk to on the phone.
She'll never tell you the movie times.
She won't. She doesn't go to the movies. Anyway, yeah, that movie came out. I think it was like the number one movie ever.
Wow.
I didn't even know they were making a second one.
Yeah. There weren't any trailers for it.
I don't know. And I thought, I don't know what she could be doing. So we'll figure it out. We'll fix it in post.
Yeah.
We'll fix it in post. Okay. But we do have to talk about groundbreaking news.
Okay.
You heard it here. Thousands. There's been another Barstool Sports Two Girls One Podcast breakup.
No, are you serious?
Yes.
I'm starting to think this is kind of like a Scandal type thing where they're manufacturing them, like Kyle and Mauricio's breakup, which we're realizing on the season is probably fake.
I can't even I watched the first
episode. I'm out.
Yeah. They broke up. The Plan Bree girls broke up.
Plan Bree?
Yeah, it's the two girls, one pod.
Brie Dellinger.
Brie that dated the Zach guy that you didn't
Brianna
know.
Brianna
Chicken Fry and Grace O'Malley. Mm-hmm. They did that show with Barstool.
Mm-hmm. Why'd they break up?
I think they had a big falling out the past year when she was dating that piece of shit guy who abused her.
But then, like, wouldn't her, you know, blowing up his spot to the world make them friends again?
I think he also blew up Grace's spot, and she wasn't allowed to talk about it for the last year on the podcast.
And so then whenever Brianna's ready, then she is like, oh, I'm just going to dish on him, and Grace isn't going to be in those sessions, but Dave is.
Yeah.
I get that.
And then I think they were going to do like a mutual sort of post about like the end of the podcast. And they had like worked on that, and I guess Brie just announced that it was over and said a bunch of stuff about Grace that I guess wasn't mean but also wasn't true. So then Grace last night was like, hey, so I didn't know that any of this was going to be posted, or you know, we had worked on like an announcement together. But yeah, so she's dead. So what I'm saying is we could be next. Okay.
I hope so. Yeah, we just have to like, as
long
as we
call her Plan Bree could be our pod.
Plan Bree. And we'll pretend like we'll always be loyal to each other. Like, of course. But with Dave, we'll pretend for any amount of money, I would turn on her. I would love to negotiate with you without her.
Boston.
I would love to bring her on the podcast. I'm from Boston.
We're from Boston. We love everything. Wait,
did you know I really am from Boston?
I thought you were from Highland Park.
I was born in Boston. I lived there.
Oh my God.
When I was a kid.
That's right. Dave Portnoy. Everybody listening, get us on the Barstool.
Yeah.
Get us on Barstool, please.
We love Good Will Hunting.
We love The Town.
We love Mass Ave. I don't love The Town.
I love The Town when they wear those masks.
That's the only good part, though. It's like a great beginning, and then the rest is so boring. Other than, I got to say, Blake Lively.
Fenway.
Blake Lively is so camp and terrible in it that it kind of saves the film.
Good in The Town playing a drug addict, which is really a stretch for her. She's sober. She's famously
sober. Yeah.
Anyway, folks, let us know about The Town, what your thoughts
are. Speaking of Blake Lively and the famous incident on The Town set where Blake Lively's nudes leaked from Ben Affleck taking them, or like her sending them to him from her trailer, and Jennifer Garner came to set.
Yes.
Jennifer Garner is like set up J-Lo and Ben Affleck separated?
He tried saving their marriage. Okay. We need to talk about... Okay. Jason, I guess you can cut a lot of this, but I just have to talk to Lauren about it. What is going on with Jennifer Garner? What has Ben Affleck done to her where she's trying to save his marriage to J-Lo?
Also, I thought that she's the one who hooked them up at the beginning. I thought that's what that article was about. She was like, Ben, if you're leaving me, you need to be with J-Lo.
Oh, maybe. But I think she was also at the end, like, she was trying to work on their marriage for them. Like, fix it with Ben and Jen.
That makes sense to me, though, because, like, if all the kids are friends.
All the kids are really close.
Yeah.
That's why we see them having playdates together post all of the divorces. But, yeah, she was like, this is actually, like, a good relationship for you.
She's like, oh, my God, are my kids, are they going to, like, unvax them now that he's dating RFK's daughter, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and the kid, like, we don't talk enough about Kik. Her name is
Kik. We really don't, yeah.
And now her daddy is, like, the not home
health czar.
He's a health czar. He's the new health czar, and he's out there slinging raw milk. He's a raw milk daddy. There's too much happening and I can't figure it out. All I know is Blake Lively was horrible in the town.
Here's the thing.
And she sent news to Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner showed up on set next day.
Here's the thing with Jennifer Garner that I really think this is a smart move for her because, like, you know, Ben Affleck, he doesn't know who he is. He's so lost. He's in his battles with sobriety. And it's like, can't you see of any celebrity, him being the one who goes raw milk, beef liver, Instagram?
How do we know he hasn't?
He probably has, honestly, because it's like, that's the kind of
sobriety
that unstable people are drawn to.
Jennifer Garner's not going to stand for him drinking raw milk in front of her children.
No, or becoming like a fruitarian and moving to Fiji. Yeah, no.
And you know, that's not going to work for J-Lo either. She's going to always be eating her Puerto Rican food. She's famous for cooking it.
Mm-hmm.
She loves having milk and cookies.
Did you see that video of where she was telling the story and she was like, I was really down on myself until a woman came up to me and was like, you sing like Jennifer Lopez. Isn't that enough for you? And I was like, that's the most beautiful story that never happened.
That never happened
in my life.
What was her last album? The most beautiful love story never told.
And my gosh.
God, isn't that crazy that all that happened? It was all happening while Lauren's in town.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say something else about Jennifer Lopez, and it was really good. But now I don't remember.
Yeah. I'm excited for number five.
I don't know her.
Michelle's wearing her Mariah Carey sweater. Mariah Carey.
Does that not look like the Countess Luann?
She looks so Countess in that picture. Yeah. The brows. Yeah.
This is Countess coded.
It looks like the Countess back when she was like a nurse who was on Italian game shows.
And right here, Mariah doesn't have a nose.
No, it's airbrushed out.
I love it.
Which is, I think, like, she probably had like a full approval over that picture.
She just created the airbrushing to the point of no nostrils.
Yeah. I'm glad she's having a Christmas comeback tour.
Well, she does every November 1st.
She does? She goes on tour?
I think so. She always does like a few shows. Yeah, it's her.
Oh, really?
It's like her time to shine. Like,
maybe it's just that she came to Dallas for once.
Oh, yeah. I mean, why would she have to be anywhere? I wouldn't if I was
No,
her.
It's so cool of her to
Yeah, it's so cool
do that.
Of her.
It's really cool of her. Like, it's big of her.
Big of her.
I'm being sincere.
Oh, now I remembered the J-Lo thing. She's, like, doing the Whitney Houston tribute or something at the Grammys.
Oh.
I don't know, but see, if it's Whitney Houston after a certain period, I think J-Lo could pull it off.
So it's like a montage of reality show clips?
That, or like when her voice is kind of shot from the drugs.
I just still think that she still was a better singer than J-Lo.
Yeah, so J-Lo's done some really weird things at the Grammys. Like, she did the Motown tribute.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of weird. And now the Whitney Houston. Like, I don't know why we can't not have J-Lo do those things.
But it's kind of on brand. Like, kind of now her brand is, clowning herself.
And getting divorced.
I kind of love it. Yeah.
Whatever. You know what? I hope she never gets married again, though. She shouldn't.
She makes a great flop queen. Like, now we really can stand because she's really leaning into her. I think she's most powerful as a flop queen. Like Angie Kay from Salt Lake City.
Oh, my God.
Who really came to the height of her flop queen powers.
I'm obsessed with her right now, Lord.
Yeah.
I'll never stop being shaking. We need to talk about this episode right
now because
I think it's one of the greatest episodes never told.
Okay. I wouldn't go that far. But okay. Good morning, students. I am Lauren, by the way, if you didn't know by now. And that's Michelle, if you didn't know.
I'm Michelle.
She's Michelle.
And we are recapping Meredith's Bar Mitzvah episode of Spot Mitzvah. Sorry.
For girls. We love our bots.
Of Salt Lake City. Wait, Michelle.
What?
What's up for the students once and for all? Are you Jewish?
Oh my God.
I haven't asked because, you know.
I mean, I was.
To be polite.
I was raised Jewish.
Were you mitzvahed?
I was. I did have a bat mitzvah.
Oh my gosh. Was it to the soaring heights of Meredith's ski lodge extravaganza? Well,
so I didn't have a bat mitzvah at a ski lodge. I did have a bat mitzvah at a hotel. And ooh. I tried sneaking out of my own party to make out with Justin Silverstein. He had a peanut allergy.
So you were like, I can't eat any peanuts all night or I'll murder him.
I made sure when we ordered the food and the cake that I told my mom that it had to be like nut free.
Oh my God. That's so cute.
He didn't make out with me. Oh. It's okay. So I wish we did have nuts in that cake.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, there were so many nuts there in this spot, Mitch.
Chock full of nuts.
Chock full of nuts. I thought I was watching an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Well, for me, like, okay, so Michelle built this episode up a lot to me, and I was like, okay, it's starting a little slow for me.
It was
must
like
admit.
I was live tweeting it. I was talking to you about it as I was watching it in real time. I also didn't realize you hadn't watched it yet. So I just was saying things.
Well, the first thing that really stood out to me is that there are so many confessional looks this season on Salt Lake City. We were introduced to two new confessional looks from each of the ladies this episode alone. Yeah.
They have
What's going on?
They have a lot to talk about, and they have stylists galore in Salt Lake now because that's where all of the shows are being filmed. It's the new Vancouver.
Yeah. Do you? They have subsidies there?
I hope
not.
They
would be smart to get some subsidies.
I hope they don't. They're not union.
To incentivize shooting. So, yeah. So I was surprised. Heather's talking about, like, Heather's at the bat mitzvah, and she's talking about, like, how many bar and bat mitzvahs she went to growing up. And I was like, that's like a larger
Denver.
Jewish community than I think.
Well, she said
why.
Jason also was confused. Yeah. So she said she grew up in like Denver. So there's like,
okay.
I didn't know there were a lot of Jews in Denver, but there are.
Or Mormons, even. Well, there's a lot of white people. So you're going to get all kinds of that type of stuff.
I guess Heather's just always lived in a ski town. Mm-hmm. So the one that she used to live in, I guess there were a lot of Jews. At least she's probably saying she went to a lot and it was probably like three.
Yeah, exaggerating.
Yeah.
As always.
As she does.
So, yeah, everyone's outfits are crazy. For this pop. So it's like, it's at a ski lodge. It's cool as shit.
Including Meredith's. Also, we need to talk about the way that she arrives to her own bat mitzvah, which is very Christmas-coded.
Yes, in a horse-drawn sleigh with eight tiny reindeer.
A horse-open sleigh.
Yeah.
It's crazy. There's snow everywhere. It looks like a fucking Christmas card, but it's her bat mitzvah.
Yeah.
She's now becoming a woman. That's a bar and bat mitzvah, if you don't know, is when you become an adult in the Jewish community. So it's usually when you're 12 or 13.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not like unheard of to get bar or bat mitzvah older.
The way this one happened is very
it's unheard
of.
Well, she wasn't raised Jewish, was she? Like,
she
converted with when she married Seth, I thought.
Okay.
I mean, maybe not.
Okay, so let's talk about the outfits. Let's talk about the fits.
Okay, let's talk about the fits.
Follow us for our fit talk.
Okay, so Heather is giving me Mother of the Bride. She is like long-sleeved white dress covering the arms and also looks cold.
It is cold.
It's cold as shit. Like, she needs a coat. And also, yeah, speaking of people who are cold, Lisa is wearing sunglasses and a black tube dress, no coat. And the whole, like, waiting for the, you know, the big arrival is all outside on the ski lodge porch.
All
I'm
outside.
Like, she must be
and
cold as fuck.
Nobody's wearing a coat. That is main cast.
Yeah, but I gotta say, Lisa, I think, looks chic as fuck. And I think she's the most dressed appropriately because Meredith kind of owns them all because everyone's dressed like cocktail party or wedding.
Well, Lisa
and then she
is
comes
kind of dressed
other than
way.
Lisa, other than yeah, but like Meredith's in just like a little white mod suit, and so everyone's wildly overdressed and looks like fools.
Yeah, Bronwyn, obviously.
Bronwyn is junior.
Do you know what her out? Okay, so Meredith is wearing like a two-piece, a crop top, but she's wearing like a crop top. She might have a jacket, I don't know. But you know what it reminded me of?
Clueless.
One and only Sheena Shea's wedding dress to Mike Shea.
Crop top wedding dress. Yeah, that's very, that was Bronwyn's look.
It was
for
very,
sure.
It was very Sheena coded.
It was very like, honestly, like, I'm like, were Brittany and Bronwyn intentionally giving a shout out to like, you know, 13-year-olds bar and bar mitzvahs, because that's what they looked more dressed for.
Right.
It's like, more of like a
junior section.
Yeah, junior section outfit.
Right.
And Bronwyn, she still, I really liked her Marabou like little coatlets.
Oh, a coatlet.
Yeah, that was cute. Her little like Marabou wrap thing. But Brittany went full juniors, and boy, does she get red for all
She's
of her
very,
fashion choices.
Limited too.
Very limited too. Very like fluffy, you know. Yeah. First, the design challenge on Drag Race where you get eliminated first for looking too boxy kind of outfit. And then, of course, like pieces all over the hair, like the tracks, the little. We'll get into that more.
But it's a doozy.
And then according to Lisa, she has bridge and tunnel nails. She's got the little jewels on the nails.
Yes. And okay, we also
That's early.
The SLC editors are the best editors of all of the franchises.
See, yeah, I've got to say,
I love
usually it. Usually they're not. I feel like it's a little much for me sometimes. But this episode, I thought it worked perfectly. I thought I loved all the camp touches. I loved all the winky winky. Sometimes it's like a little too try hard, which already the girls are giving us try hard. So I'm like, I don't need it from the editors.
You don't need it. But I did like when they said like there was the definition of what bridge and tunnel is. If you are,
I
like
that.
You
yes, it worked perfectly with this episode. I love the editing on this episode. I love the foreshadowing. The foreshadowing we got on Brittany's look being like considered a little, you know, a little trashy by the ladies. Considered a little, even though everyone's dressed crazy.
It's, high body count.
It's good that we got this Chekhov's nails.
Yeah.
Of like, but Brittany is considered dressed the craziest by the ladies, and that really set the plot,
which
going.
Is hard to do.
Yeah.
It's
really hard to do. Especially because Whitney is dressed like the president in a porno.
And I forgot she was there.
Yeah, she doesn't do much. She's like in this tight, slicked back chignon and like pearls, and then like a bustier with like a wrap dress over it. Like it's very like, you know, oh, get into my office. I'm your
Happy
boss
birthday.
And you've been a bad accountant.
Happy
you know?
Birthday, Mr. President. But like not in a good way.
Not in a good way.
Not
and then we have Melee. Who?
She's in our segment. Oh, she's there. She's there every seventh episode, I see.
And I do like the way the editors are giving her anything, just showing her in the background. Like, we don't even have time for her.
We don't have time. Like, fine, we'll have her showing up. And they probably told her to wear a jacket so she would stick out from the cast.
Yes, yes. She is so beautiful, though, I will
say. She's gorgeous and boring.
Yeah.
Bad combo for reality TV.
You have to at least be funny like Kiki if you're going to be gorgeous and boring in the background. Although Kiki stepped up last season. All right, so Mary is not coming to this because Mary's got a lot on her plate and her like friendship with Meredith is a little frittered.
Rocky.
Yeah.
But is she coming?
We'll see. And Brittany is talking with Bronwyn. She's still mad at Angie for Angie saying she's doing three guys.
Right.
When that's so sensitive to her as a Mormon.
Because she's not. Wait. Okay. We have to talk about this really quick with Brittany. Okay. She showed up to the bat mitzvah holding a bottle of wine.
Yes. And everyone's like, well.
So it's okay for the Jews.
And it's really, I think Whitney hit the nail on the head where Brittany's like pissed that Angie brought wine to her church party because her friends, her Osmond's on again, off again boyfriend doesn't know she drinks because he's like a hardcore Mormon and she's
he is an Osmond Mormon and those are real.
That's like the, you know, gold level. The platinum card member.
Platinum, Mormon.
That's so you're getting your own planet.
Yeah, it's like he's like, it's like Joseph Smith and then like right under that is like all the Osmonds.
All the Osmonds, exactly.
Right.
So Brittany is, still mad about the doing three guys thing. Mm-hmm. And she says that Angie's only saying that because she and Sean are probably doing three guys.
Right.
And that Angie does all this stuff for attention.
Right. And keep in mind, folks, this is a religious event. This is a very like
somber.
Well, it's not usually it's celebratory. It's a big party, but it is like a very big moment in a Jewish person's life. It's one of the biggest, like it's up there with like a wedding in terms of like how important it is, because you're being recognized as an adult for the first time in the Jewish community. You're really being seen as like a leader. So this is all happening at this event in a ski lodge.
In a ski lodge. But the ski lodge, honestly, it was like a little bit churchy.
It was a synagogue. It was synagogue-esque.
It was like the high ceilings, you know, and then it has like kind of a stage area. Like it took me a while to realize like, okay, this is just a ski lodge, not a synagogue ski lodge that they have for any kind of religious or for weddings a lot, like a ski marriage.
Right. She did get a real rabbi and she had a real Torah. She wasn't reading from the Torah, because if you saw, there was like paper on top of it. She had it she wasn't reading the Hebrew. She had it sort of written in
phonetically. Yeah.
In English.
Yeah.
I actually want everyone to know I did actually learn to read Hebrew, and I did read from the Torah in Hebrew.
Wow. Do you remember any?
I don't remember the part that I read from the Torah, but I do remember a lot of like Jewish prayers and stuff. I mean, I went to Hebrew school. Jason was asking me about this.
I didn't know you went to Hebrew school.
Oh, sweetie. Yeah.
I went to
Hebrew school from like, yeah, I mean, because you actually have to learn how to read Hebrew when you're a Jewish child, if you're going to like temple and stuff. Yeah. I mean, probably from like age like 7, 8 up until I had my bat mitzvah when I was 13.
Wow.
So there was a time, guys, when I could actually read from right to left.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now you can't read at all.
I can't read at all. And it's actually better that way. I recommend it for all women. I can only read Reddit.
Yeah. Same.
And so when people ask, like, did you read it? And I'll say, I read it.
I read it. So then, so Brittany and Bronwyn are, because Bronwyn, in the last episode, Angie kept telling her to shut the fuck up.
Right.
They're both kind of like allied a little bit against Angie.
Yeah. So it's like, you can only say shut the fuck up so many times before it's actually rude.
Yeah. So true.
And she said it one too many times. So then it was rude.
Yes. Then Meredith's mom is there. Meredith's mom looks exactly like Angie to me.
Oh my God, don't say that. But kind of, now I see it completely.
Yeah, they just have like both beautiful still faces, like Egyptian death masks, and like the long dark hair.
Right.
Beautiful.
The sarcophagus. Still.
Yes, yes. Cleopatra coming at you. Well, but she just never got
loud, 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 loud and proud Jewish woman.
Yes.
Proud woman of faith.
And it seems like her kids were mitzvahed too, because even her son, who is never on cameras.
We'd never seen him.
Yep.
We've never seen him.
He pops in.
And we're not talking about Brooks Marks.
No.
He makes his presence known every time.
Of always. Yeah.
He's such a star.
He is. He really is. I'm glad that he's back. And even though like I definitely thought he would be background on this episode, he manages to play a large part in the plot.
He does. So if we want to talk the ceremony, the actual bat mitzvah where she's reading from the Torah, which is, if you don't know what Torah is, it's the Old Testament is what the Torah is, the scrolls. It's all the Old Testament written in Hebrew. But I want to sort of glaze over that part. So to quote one of my favorite Jewish TV shows, yada, yada, yada. And then Mary shows up late.
Yes. So Mary decides she does want to come because Mary, religion is obviously so important to her. And so she wants to, you know, extend an olive branch and support Meredith and her.
Women supporting women.
Yes. So important. Mary shows up, about an hour into the ceremony.
Right.
And instead of, you know, like any other cast member would have done, asking the camera
where's
the door, you know, she does not. She said, you know what? I got this. So she is peering into the tinted windows, which you cannot see through, of the ski lodge. And she just keeps going from tinted window wall to tinted window wall, thinking, maybe this will be the wall where I can see in. Maybe this will be where the door is, asking for no help, just still peering until she really settles on the wall behind where the stage is, where
Meredith is reading with the rabbi.
Meredith is reading, where probably she can faintly hear like, oh, maybe I'm right by the stage. But she really posts up there and spends a good 10 minutes just peering in as all of the audience points and looks
at her. And they're horrified. And she's got a beautiful gown on.
Yes, a beautiful blazer, beautiful gown, beautiful lingerie top.
I feel like it was such a miss for the producers to not put in like, dun, dun, dun.
Yes. Yeah, the editors, if you're listening, next
editors
time,
in chief.
When you flashback, definitely play that. And then she finally
finds the door,
strolls in at the very end during Meredith's speech, where she's like crying. Sobbing. And in fact, it's silence because Meredith is crying too hard to finish her speech. And Mary's like, "Excuse me, can you move over?" It's like, just stand in the back. My God, it's just like scooting. Mm-hmm. All the way through the row to find a place to sit for 2 minutes while Meredith wraps it up in complete silence.
That's all Mary needed, because she will later tell Meredith what a beautiful ceremony it was and how great it was to see her up there reading. And
So then, ceremony wraps up, and there's a what did you think of these fondue troughs?
Okay.
So it's
I texted you about what I thought of the food. Remember, like, the big thing I texted? There's ham being served.
Ham! Yeah.
I know not everybody is up to speed on Jewish, what you can eat in, like, the Jewish religion and being kosher, but pork is something you are not really supposed to eat. You're not really supposed to eat meat and cheese mixed, and you're not really supposed to eat, like, bottom feeders like shellfish, Bethany. But, like,
or caviar.
Pork is, like, the big
thing. The number one. Yeah.
Number one. Not on the call list.
Because it's Old Testament. It's like, thou shalt not touch a pig's carcass.
What literally Meredith was just reading from. That
Wait, can Jews play football? That's a pig's carcass.
You don't see a lot of tough but fair. The fact that there's, and it's not just any old ham. It's they're slicing ham at this.
And then you can get your big slice of ham and put it under the fondue trough and mix it up and then put a big heaping portion of caviar on top.
Or what does Brooks Marks call it? It's not fondue. It's raclette.
Raclette. Yeah.
Because remember, he's asking his mom and I think like his aunt or something. He's like, you've never had raclette. This is like my favorite part of the episode, though. He's like looking at him. He's like, you've never had raclette? And they were like, no. And they were like, do you know what it is? And they were like, we don't. And he's like, what? Oh my God. I thought it was like a common thing. And it's not, because Lauren even just called it fondue.
Well, that's what Heather called it too. I'm crass like her.
It's raclette.
I just want to talk about the setup a little, where it's like, is that the traditional setup where it's by a fireplace and there's a bunch of big metal like tubes that he's dripping from one to another?
Oh, it doesn't typically have like a Christmas cabin lodge feel to it. Jewish religious party. No, it's typically, I mean, all the bar bat mitzvahs I've been to there's not really a fireplace. It's usually always at a hotel. There's a DJ, there's dancing, but it is like a party for children. Like there's a cake. And also, okay, this was the other thing. It's always your birthday. So it's always on your birthday. This was not Meredith's birthday. So that made it even weirder that she had it and not did it on her birthday, because it is your birthday party.
Oh, interesting. Even when people do it older? It's generally on your birthday?
I haven't seen it done older, but I think, because it's usually like your birthday party.
Oh, yeah, you're 13. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there wasn't, I guess, was there a cake there? I don't know. I was so focused on the ham, like the audacity of that was
the audacity
crazy.
Of ham.
And that they actually cut to the slicing of the ham.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Crazy.
Raclette.
It was also just like random food. Didn't you feel like it was just so random?
It was a really, it was like, I guess maybe that was just what we chose to cut to, where it was just like all of the non-kosher stuff. We got the ham, we got the fish, we got the cheese, we got people mixing them, you know.
Yeah, we got them mixing them around, and then there's like a full bar. You don't typically see a full bar because the kids can't drink, but like adults do, but I haven't seen like full, I've seen like wine and beer.
I see.
Things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess concessions that had to be made to have it be on camera.
Right. And Mary gets some red wine and she says to Meredith, I don't like this.
Yeah. I don't like, and I was like, I've never related to her more, to be honest.
I don't like this.
Every time I'm like, maybe a glass of red wine will be good. I have one sip and I'm like, I still hate this. This is so gross.
Red wine. I haven't had it in years.
I think it's okay if I can cut it with some cranberry juice. I can't. Make a little cocktail.
I'm sorry. We need to talk about this right now, everyone. Nobody is drinking red wine and not looking insane to me. Because it always, you have like...
The ring. Yeah.
The ring of fire.
It looks like perioral dermatitis.
Yeah. And maybe it's only me because I have seen other people drink red wine and they don't look like that. But I can't drink red wine without looking like I just ate a bunch of purple Play-Doh.
Same. And it's also so full of sulfites that like I take like smell it and my face is red with rosacea.
Rosacea, and I have a migraine.
5 times out of 10 when I drank it, back when I used to be like, I'll drink whatever, I would throw up after all the time. Half a glass.
You throw up and it's purple in there.
And it's purple. It's purple. And then the night's over once you look like you purple.
Just threw up Barney.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Not a good look, ladies.
With your brown teeth.
With your brown teeth and your purple lips.
It's the first time Mary has ever been relatable, in my opinion.
Right.
Also, another way she was relatable, she was wearing like Amazon rhinestone fishnet gloves, which I have the same pair. I know. I was like, it's Mary. These cheap ass drag gloves. I love it.
So relatable, a drag glove.
But Mary and Meredith, they make up. Mary's like.
And I have to say that did feel authentic, that moment to me.
Yes, it did feel authentic. And also the editor's blowing up Heather's spot by Heather saying, oh, it looks like Meredith and Mary are making up because Meredith doesn't have a rash all over her body, like when she gets upset.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, bitch, you are
that's
harsh
dirty.
For that.
Yeah, and that happens to me too. When I get like mad or excited, I like break out, especially if I've been drinking red wine.
Yes.
I have splotches all over my tits.
It's something that like I've had friends where that happens, they're very self-conscious about it. They're always like, do I have rash right now? And for Meredith to like say it when the cameras are right there, I'm like, or for Heather to say that about Meredith, I was like, that's dirty, girl.
You
that's
some
really underhanded below the belt.
It was, she doesn't look inbred, like Mary said, but she does act like it sometimes.
Yes. Also, Angie and Lisa make up. Okay. I'm not sure why. I think they're just like, Angie has too many enemies to keep holding a grudge.
It's like, and Lisa's like, you know what? I guess, like, you are Sun or Snowflake. But I want to talk about, before that, I want to talk about Bronwyn and Brittany. That was
That's
so
after.
Good. Okay. Okay. Well, then let's talk about it after.
Okay. So
Jason
then.
Had that.
So then Angie, you know, now Angie's on like her apology tour. And so she's like, okay, now I'll apologize to Bronwyn, or really Bronwyn should apologize to me.
Yeah.
So Bronwyn is like not having it at all.
He's not having a good day.
She's coming at her hard.
Well, yeah. She didn't look happy to be there.
Yeah. And Angie was like, because
Todd's there.
So Angie is kind of trying to make peace, and Bronwyn is just like,
get the
snipping.
Fuck away from me.
Yeah, she's like, it was too many shut the fuck ups. And then Angie's like, oh, you know, like I will apologize. And Bronwyn's like, you know,
whatever.
Yeah, that's not how you apologize. You apologize by saying I'm sorry, not that you're going to say I'm sorry.
Right. Okay. And Bronwyn, okay. I don't know
this
how to.
This was a wild episode for her, I gotta say.
She is, I think, really liked by a lot of fans. I like her.
I think this would make the casuals hate her this episode because she's doing a lot.
She's doing a lot. It is giving like big, like main character energy.
Yeah.
And it's like, girl, you're not even like a full season in. You know what I'm saying?
I was like worried for her this episode where it's like she was burning every single. Now she's gotten in a fight with every single girl.
She's burning, and her husband. Like, there is not a person at this party that she's not like pissing off completely.
But see, this is what I liked about it. It didn't seem like, oh, she's just really trying to like stay on camera.
Yeah.
It was like she's in a real bad place with Todd.
Yeah.
She's like projecting it on everyone.
I don't know why Todd's there. He does not want, he only shows up to scold her in front of her colleagues.
Here's what I got. So Todd steps in to rescue Bronwyn during this Angie Bronwyn apology gone wrong, because Bronwyn has made it go sideways. And he's like, can I get one of you a drink? And then Bronwyn immediately jumps on him and is like, well, don't offer her a drink. And then they go get a drink. Yeah. And Todd's like, look, I was obviously, Bronwyn had been like, you're an asshole on camera and everyone thinks you're an asshole. Don't be so mean to these women. And so he's like, well, I was trying to be like nice.
Defuse
and she's like,
the situation, get you away from that situation. sense. Like, his wife did look like she was mad at this person. He was probably just like, let me get you out of here.
Yeah. And she's like, well, then, you know, it's like, you're apologizing for me. And they're like having this like under the breath fight while they're ordering a drink. And Bronwyn is also relatable in this moment. She's like, yeah, we'll just have, you know, a vodka soda and a wine. Sorry that you're having your heroes fight. You don't get paid enough for that. Like, still trying to pretend everything's... I was like, okay, I have been there. Like, quietly fighting, quietly fighting. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. But yeah, but definitely the show is tearing them up.
Okay. I feel differently. I feel like this was a reason just to go ahead and divorce, because then they'll be able to see themselves on camera.
Yeah. I mean...
I think their marriage must have been falling apart before.
I think it was bad before. I am of the school of thought that we've been saying, where it's like he's pulling a Kelsey, where it's like, where Kelsey, like Camille, helped him get his life together and was the love of his life for like 10 years. And then he got a younger model. I think Todd, it's like he was kind of like an old timey baron who took in, you know, a young woman in trouble and her daughter, and like, you know, they were his wards and he helped raise them. And then when the young daughter leaves, it's like, well, now, young woman, you are okay. It's like, you know, Jean Valjean and Fantine, like, except, like, off you go.
Except he looks like he wants to murder her sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think he's going to like remarry a younger model. I think he's just old and he just wants peace. He just wants to be alone.
He wants to be home with his slippers on and
just being on the board of his companies, collecting his checks, you know.
Anyway, that's Bronwyn's first couple fights.
Yes. Okay. So then Heather and Whitney make up to... They're such like... It's such bullshit, their whole like French... It's so clearly alliance.
Like, it's like, an alliance, and it's a codependence. Even if they are mad at each other, they can't like be without each other. It's like watching Kyle Richards be like not, you know, like... not having boring as her, like that.
Yes. Well, it's very like Kyle and Erica, you know, where it's like, or Erica and Dorit, where it's like,
oh my God,
are they friends in real life? I don't think so. But it's like, they're always going to have each other's backs on the show because it serves their interests.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
It's so annoying.
And then if they have a fight, it's going to be staged. And then whenever there is a fight that isn't staged, it's like the other one gets furious because it's like, you didn't tell me we were going to stage this fight.
Right.
You know?
Yes. But I will say, like, Heather and Whitney have actually given us things.
That's true. Oh, 100%.
And they still do.
It's way better than...
It's just that everyone's so good on this show, especially this season, where it's just like Heather's a little exhausting to me and Whitney's a little exhausting to me.
Yeah, agreed. Whitney. So then they're like, you know, being like, we're fine, we're fine. And then Lisa comes up. Lisa comes up and is like trying to get in the mix. And then Whitney just snaps, like, don't fucking interrupt me, Lisa.
Yeah.
And then she's like, Lisa's like, lies, you make up things and you lie. And then Bronwyn and Brittany, we go over to this newfound alliance. Bronwyn's like, who knew that I'd be friends with you guys, the other first year cast members who are total flop losers.
Yeah, total flops. And then Brittany's so happy. She's like, oh my gosh, me and Bronwyn, we're friends now. And then Bronwyn's like, I am going to dismantle and implode this friendship in 3 minutes.
Yes, it's so funny. Brittany, I love Brittany on this show because she's so like, she's so like Sheena. A lamb with wolves.
Sheena to me.
So
I'm trying to figure out, who are you?
And the Osmond is Sheena. Rob.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
she's
now
so
we said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's not into her, but she is willing to like get rid of her kids.
He won't say that. Yeah. He doesn't tell me I love you, but I know that he does.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we see that Osmond at Toco Madera, we know what's going on.
We know what's up. Yeah. If we see him hanging a TV in 7 minutes, we know that Brittany is a goner.
I think I've seen this film before.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So then all the girls kind of like meet up and these new alliances are happening. Like Angie grabs Lisa's arm. Bronwyn grabs Brittany's arm. It's like just to really show us who's with who right now.
Right.
And then Angie says, Bronwyn like thinks I'm a bad person. And Brittany's like, well, you are. You basically called me a slut. And then Bronwyn, let's go, rips her hand away from Brittany, runs over to the Angie side and said, she also called Angie a slut before. And then Angie, that really sets Angie off.
Okay.
A nice Greek girl like her, she says she gets very triggered with these accusations.
This is A Star Is Born to me.
Yeah,
this is her moment. This is why she was center snowflake.
And this is, I think, the almost like, I mean, recency bias, but probably the quote of the year. Like the iconic classic Housewives quote of the year.
We are going to quote this forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where I have the fucking chills.
Just it very it. Much it very much reminds me of Lisa's hot mic moments.
Oh,
where
my God.
She just keeps going, yeah. Can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah. Your family who poses,
but her version of your family who poses is well, you call me a slut. I don't look and dress and have hair like I have a high body count. Those are high body count dress, high body count hair, high body count heels. And then Bronwyn's like, now attacks Angie and is like, you're Versace, your nipples hanging out. And Angie's like, no, she has high body count boobs. And Lisa's like, no, you just shamed her hair. Like, that's like the tragedy of all this.
Yeah, you have slutty hair.
And then Brittany's so upset. Brittany's like, we do get a hot mic moment from her and Brooks Marks. She's like, I'm leaving. And she said, my hair and my dress and my tits are slutty. And Brooks is like, you look beautiful.
You shouldn't get slut shamed at my mom's bat mitzvah.
And then immediately goes to Meredith to report that Angie's been a bad girl.
Yeah, Angie's been a bad girl, that she was slut shaming Brittany. And you know what Meredith says? If you slut shame somebody, you can leave.
And so also I just want to mention that an underrated part of Angie's rant is they cut back to her after Brittany's left and she's still going on Melee, and she's like you actually have it too, it's called a bump it, you have a bump it in your hair, and
you
that's
have a
high body count hair.
But then what made it even so good is Brittany's like going around the party sobbing about being slut-shamed hair. And then Lisa's like, you do need to get a keratin treatment.
Yeah, you do need a Kerastase Thermatique. I love that she had like the exact brand. That's like, she really is a sponsorship. But honestly, Lisa's hair always looks
unbelievable.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I barely ever see the track.
Right. So, it does not have high body count hair.
It does not.
And you know what? I didn't realize until Angie said that in that moment that she does like that. In fact, Brittany does have high body count hair. If I had to think of like porn slutty hair, it is what Brittany was rocking.
Yeah. I mean, I would argue that Whitney has the more porn look, like overall head to
toe. High body count hair.
High body count. Just like professional sex worker costume going on. But I do, it's like, it's more they're saying like she it's very like, you know, like Lisa said, it's kind of a Jersey look. You know, like she likes the little, you know, like it was very popular on OC circa like 2016, the little like Lhasa Apso Shih Tzu, you know, tiny little ponytail
like
with the big curls.
Teresa's wedding hair. That's high body count hair.
That's literally.
And it's high. Bump it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can count the inches of how tall it is. It's eight dicks high, as we were saying, because we count in dicks. Yeah.
Oh, we didn't record that part, but I was saying I don't understand measurements unless they're dicks.
Exactly.
Right.
So then Meredith is, you can leave for your slut shaming. And I love that she was anticipating she would get this opportunity. So she hired two big security, Grayson.com.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm not making the same mistake again where I tell a waiter to escort someone out when I'm espresso martini drunk. This time I will have security
at my daytime event.
She loves banishing. She loves guards banishing.
Right. Yeah. Right. But yeah, she loves that. And I think she really loved that it was Angie K. And then Angie K was like, I don't have to be escorted. I can walk. See, I'm walking.
Yes. And then she realizes halfway out, she's like, this is Brittany's coat, not mine, and throws it on the ground.
And throws it on the floor. And then she's hanging out in the lobby for a while talking to Lisa about a trip.
Yes. So then, Angie's like still ranting, and Lisa recognizes this is much like the hot mic moment.
She's like,
that tacky bitch showed up at my anniversary party, and Lisa's like, stop saying stuff you'll regret.
Yeah, she's like, she didn't bring a gift at my anniversary party, and she's like, stop saying things you'll regret. Like, you know, when Lisa said you fucked half of New York and your family poses, and you don't own a home.
Yeah, that's she's like, I've been here, sweetie.
That's like not giving me a gift.
Yeah.
That's the same.
So then Sean comes out and they're leaving together, and Angie's like, where's my phone? He's like, I don't know. And they just leave without
her. They just leave without her phone.
Yeah. Like, whatever.
Whatever.
Honey, been there.
We gotta get out of here. These two big security guards are not gonna let you back into this religious event.
Yes.
They're serving ham.
Yes. While inside Meredith's like, these accusations are vile.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God sees her.
And then we get some great editing.
Yes. Okay. So then we have Lisa and Meredith kind of in the aftermath, like Lisa being like, this level of accusations, it's so crazy.
Right.
Oh, well, see you in Puerto Vallarta. And then we cut to Lisa, like back a professional, like rewind. And like Lisa's like smiling. And she's just the perfect person to deliver this, where she's like, wow, this is crazy. Mare hates Angie. Bronwyn hates Angie. Angie hates Brittany. And I hate Whitney. She says with like a big smile. Like, I hate Whitney.
But I can plan a great trip.
Yeah, but what you guys don't know is before this, I planned the ultimate girls' trip to Puerto Vallarta. And then it's like her, you know, let's go to Puerto Vallarta. Yeah,
I was thinking about when we all went to Palm Springs, that I could throw a great trip in Puerto Vallarta.
I don't know that everyone would be fighting before. It's like, well, I mean,
yeah.
Well, it still would have happened. Yeah. It was very like, you know, like, you're probably wondering why I got here. That's me, Lisa Barlow.
In front of my Mac computer, planning a trip to Puerto Vallarta.
Dipping a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Great. Like a really strong, like a top, like a last 5 minutes of like insanity for the ages.
So good. Yeah. The dropping off dropping her coat, like Angie dropping Brittany's coat, like made it even that much more special.
Yeah.
There were so many iconic moments.
See, what really gets me, Meredith's just like flair for the dramatic, because she's just in full drama mode of like how important this ceremony is.
I know.
And then
it's like a buffet. Like it's a buffet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where people are eating sliced ham.
Yeah. And that just that it worked out exactly how she thought. And she did get to banish someone after, you know, she was waiting for it after feeling like she was banished from Mary's.
Right.
And Mary was like, I'm not banishing you.
I didn't want you to go. I'm mad that you left. And yeah, I mean, just like everything that was so crazy over the top, from the outfits to being like the horse-drawn sleigh to Mary's like look peering through peeping Tom moments.
All time.
High body count hair. I mean,
yeah, I really, it reminds me a lot of a season we recap recently, the finale. It reminds me a lot of the Tamra and Gina assist and deceased fight in the finale, where it's like, oh, we're like, it's really all building to this insane last 5 minutes of pure bedlam.
Right.
What grade would you give this episode?
Oh my god, are you kidding me? This is an A+. This is gonna go down as an all-timer. Like it's just from beginning. I know that you thought the beginning was slow, but I liked it just because I was like I did like the clips of like Meredith talking about, you know, studying to read Hebrew when she's just reading like the phonetics.
I do think that like so much has been happening this season. It was good. That's always my thing with Salt Lake, where sometimes I'm like, oh, so much shit is happening. It's a little hard to follow, and alliances are changing so quickly just because everyone wants it to be a good show.
It's kind of like old Roni, where it's like so much is happening. We don't even have time to catch our breath sometimes. I mean, the episode that happened before this one was like really intense.
Really insane. Yeah. And so that's why we had to spend some time just kind of rehashing.
Yeah.
But it really built to like an authentically insane.
It's just such an all-timer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've never, I can't get over the ham. Even if it wasn't at a bat mitzvah, I've never seen sliced ham.
Oh, you haven't at like a wedding or something?
Not on one of these shows.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen like a carving station with
at a carving ham. Station with just ham. Usually if it's a carving station, it's like prime rib or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Not ham. Not just like sliced ham and caviar. Or sliced ham and caviar bat mitzvah for the ages.
With raclette. With
raclette.
Metal truff raclette.
Raclette. I thought it was a common thing. Yeah, that like even Brooke's not realizing that not everybody knows what raclette is.
It's wild.
So good. Like he's genuinely like, what? Like it's like you've said, like you don't know what a French fry is.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you mean? I thought it was like a common thing.
All right. Well, we've reached the end of the episode. Follow us on TikTok at @Bravo_breakdowns. Follow us on Instagram at @Bravo_breakdowns. And oh, there's one more thing I want to shout out to. I forgot to do it in the recap, but I want to shout out to my friend Pallavi Gunalan, a comedian who's going to be on the podcast in January. But she did point out that the funniest part of Meredith's speech was when she was like, I hope that this will bring all of us together. Jews, Muslims, Christians, gay, straight, all of the religions. And she's like, are gay and straight religions?
They are.
They
and
are.
If you don't believe that, you can leave.
You can leave. God sees her.
Before I talk about the rumors and nastiness.
The rumors and nastiness.
All right. So we've reached the end of the episode. Episode of ours ends with an oral exam. Michelle, would you like to do one?
Yeah, let me think about this. Okay, I think I know. I think I get it.
All right, this is Michelle Baber's oral exam. Her time starts now.
In this essay, I will prove that we need to have all eyes on Anna Lynn McCord right now more than ever. And I feel like we did have eyes on her maybe a year ago. Mm-hmm. A couple years ago, remember when she did her really famous monologue to Vladimir Putin about if I was your mother, Vladimir Putin, and it was, you know, it was a great little monologue.
Slam poetry. Yeah.
Slam poetry. We need her back. Mm-hmm. I just feel like I was in a better place mentally, and I couldn't figure out when I was talking to my therapist the other day about what has changed. And I think that she's just not being discussed in pop culture right now when she's given us a lot. DID.
Mm-hmm.
She has DID. She wants to be Vladimir Putin's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And her great work on the new 90210, which I never saw. But she was also engaged to Miley Cyrus's mom's current husband.
Time. And yes, they had a wild SNL relationship.
Yeah, Dominic Purcell.
They were big in the BDSM community.
Right.
And I did
one
have
of her
the pleasure.
Alters.
One of her alters.
One of her alters.
I did have the pleasure of watching her on the new 90210. And I must say, she was the standout. It was very Elizabeth Berkley in Showgirls.
Perfect.
Whereas That's everyone else was like, they're all on like Lifetime. Well, she's actually been in some Lifetime movies and
Good
given some very, you know, Naomi Showgirls type of performances.
Good.
So if you need your Anna Lynn McCord fix, look no further than LifetimeTV.com, Michelle. And I think that might get you right.
I think this holiday season.
Yeah.
It won't be the new happy lamp I bought.
Yes. Oh, and thank you for that.
I bought you a happy lamp too.
Yeah. So
it's not my ring light.
So wait, so when I use it, I can't be looking at screens. Do you look directly at the happy light? Because that
I
makes
think
me
you
see
can.
Bright.
Well, I think you can just like have it over here, but you're not supposed to be like, you're not supposed to be looking on the screen because that has like blue light and it's not good for you. Like we need that type of light to like help our brains know when it's time to sleep and stuff.
Okay, I think
like
I
our
definitely
phones
need
and
that.
Everything else is not giving us that, right?
Okay, why don't they just simply make our phones out of the happy light?
Well, because I don't think it's too bright to like look at or something.
Oh,
it's like the sun. It's like replacing sunshine.
I see. Okay. Well, now that
it's like walking on sunshine.
Whoa. Okay. All right. This is Lauren Davis's oral exam. My time starts now. Okay. In this essay, I will prove in this season of Survivor, Sue is the funniest character that's ever been on Survivor. I even think she's funnier than Coach. Michelle, when I tell you, okay, so she finds an idol, right? A hidden immunity idol, and it's covered in red paint. So when she opens it, red paint explodes all over her. She is a 60-year-old woman who's telling everyone she's 45 to be better at the game, but clearly 60. And she's like, they all believe I'm 45. And it cuts to them being like, 40, okay, yeah. Like, they just think she's lying about her age, because you lie about your age when you're older, but like, she's like, for game purposes. Anyway, so she is covered in what looks like blood, this 60-year-old woman. And everyone's like, oh my God, Sue, are you okay? And she's like, oh yeah, I was just, you know, messing around with a machete and cut myself. Looks like hemorrhaging and dying. They're like, Jesus Christ, Sue. She's like, no, I'm fine. So hilarious. So many hijinks. She's also always covered in dirt and mud because she's using it as contour and looks like a coal miner. And also she has a lot of like a malapropism. She forgets everyone's names. And she was like, if we do this move, it'll be so girl moves boss, girl boss moves. Yeah, she's basically like the meme of hello fellow kids, and she's a mother, and she, I'm so grateful for her, and I love her, and I want her on Housewives. She owns a flight school.
She sounds incredible. I'm glad that you found happiness. I still won't watch competition reality TV, especially not on CBS. After what they did to Les Moonves, I can't.
Yeah, you're such a Les head. A lesbian.
I've always been, I'm a lesbian.
Yeah.
That's a joke, guys. I don't condone any of his behavior.
Yeah. Is he dead yet? He's dead, right?
Just in the hearts and minds of his victim.
Right. Who would have thought, of all people, Les Moonves would have been corrupt?
Who would have thought, like, a powerful old white man would have done such heinous things?
Who knew? Who knew?
Who knew?
Next thing you're going to tell me that there was sexual assault at Fox News.
Or,
yeah, or Scott Rudin's production company. I don't remember
or
what it was.
Girls Gone Wild.
Oh, man. We need to do Miami. That's what we should. We should recap Miami, the old seasons.
Oh, my God.
With all of our new Miami connections through Christian's College.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will. We will. We never finished OC.
Yeah, we've got to do OC first.
We got to do that. That's our New Year's resolution is to
we'll get through it. We'll get through it, you guys. But I mean, it's the best years. We can really do those probably. I don't even think we need to recap them in two. We can really, fly by, you know.
Like, we can just be like, this is season 9. This is when Shannon arrived. And this is season 10 when Vicky faked cancer.
Because the thing is, we've talked about season 10 so much already.
So much.
There's not a ton left to say.
You know, it's.
We could really speed through.
It's one of the all, you know, timers.
It's an all timer.
You know.
It might be my favorite season.
It's so good. I'm being nailed to the cross like Jesus was. And he did nothing wrong.
Yep.
He did nothing wrong.
He did nothing wrong. And
he did nothing wrong.
She's not wrong.
Yeah, he did nothing wrong.
Yeah. And now we said it.
And now we
said
it.
All right, love you guys. Bye.